say that the Lord is king, he is God, he is in charge, he's not worried, he's not frustrated, he's not tapping his fingers up there going, come on, what's going on? He's not, you know, the ticker tape's not going by in heaven, oh man, the stocks are down. He doesn't care because he's large and in charge, and I'm so glad he's my God. And anybody else, is he your God? Now, there's only one. I'm so glad that he's mine, right? Amen. Woo-hoo. All the others are pretenders. We were in a church a few weeks ago, and there was a lady in the church or that had come in on that day. And I've never shared this with a group before, but she walked in, and when she came in, I felt there's something wrong with this lady. There's something going on. And she sat and talked during the whole service and kept getting people's attention. And she knew what I was going to say before I said it. She knew what verses I was going to, and it was not a good thing. I'm just saying this was a very destructive, demonic thing going on. And, you know, the Lord helped me to kind of turn to her and quiet her down a little bit, you know. But she came up to me after the service, and she got real close to me, and she said, "You're anointed, aren't you?" And I talked to the Lord a lot after that, and because I wondered, I wish there was something I could have done. I wish if somebody doesn't want to be free from something like that, it's very difficult to do that. But I really talked to the Lord about it, and he reminded me of when the Lord and the disciples came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and the rest of the disciples had a person there, that a child was very, very troubled. And he said, they said, we brought him to your disciples, but they could not cast him out. And what the Lord said to him was, you know what he said? This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. And I said, Lord, I don't want to have another experience where there's something that's needy like that in a service, and I don't have the walk with you. I'm not close enough to you to be able to deal with it. And that's kind of the cry of my heart. The world is in darkness. That dear lady is in darkness. She's blinded. And sometimes if we give ourselves to the blindness, if we give ourselves to the lie, then it can take over us and begin to dominate our life. And I don't want that for her. Amen. I don't want her in hell. I don't want anybody in hell, because God loves us, and he went to the greatest extent to get us free from there. But, wow, it's a sermon by Paul Talley. Who is that guy? I've heard he's kind of weird. His hair has been growing ever since the COVID. Actually, I did that on purpose. It makes me seem taller. But there are various words that are pandered around by different groups. And we are in all different kind of denominations. We are in some that you might call Pentecostal, and some that are very not Pentecostal, and from every part of the gamut. And there's a particular word that people use, like that lady used, called the anointing. And sometimes we just put that on music we like, or put that on, that was a good sermon, that was anointed, and we don't necessarily understand what that means. And I want to just look at something for this morning that is a very pivotal understanding in Scripture that is missing from a lot of us, myself included. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. Will you do that? 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm just going to read a little bit from verse 11. This is Samuel came to visit Jesse. He said, are these here all thy children? Verse 11. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. We will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look at. And he was, keeping the sheep. So he was outdoors a lot, and had a little bit of sun, going on there. And then the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. This is the new king. And Saul was the old king, and Saul had his moments and times, but he messed up, didn't he? So the Lord said to Samuel to do this. Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And what it says next is very important. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So in this, in the Old Testament, the oil that people would pour on like this for the king, it had several connotations, didn't it? Now, even when he did this, Saul was still the king. He was still sitting on the throne. And Saul was very jealous of him. And I think it's that way still today. If there are people that are perhaps in leadership, in religious leadership, but they don't have the presence of the Lord in their life, they don't have the Holy Spirit on them in their life, they are, I don't know, jealous or intimidated or something. And you know what? The presence of the Lord in a person's life is not anything to do with ability or talent or charisma, that God just liked that person better. So, you know, sometimes we did music for a Billy Graham crusade when I was little. And, you know, people say, well, he's just very charismatic. He's, you know, handsome and he has a nice southern accent and that's why God used him. No, God used him because he was passionate for souls. My dad had told a story that when Billy was a teenager, he was at a Youth for Christ rally or something where they were, a missionary was speaking and talking about the lost. And after the meeting, Billy ran out the side door. He was just a teenager and disappeared and outside. And his friends opened the door and went to see what was going on with him. And he was laying in the grass, pulling up handfuls of grass and saying, oh, God, make me a soul winner. God, make me a soul winner. And he did. God made him a soul winner because he passionately wanted it. And the call of God on someone, he will not put it, he will not, he may lay it on you, but he won't force you to do it. So this is when Samuel anointed David king, there's a couple things that I want to mention about that. The anointing was for power, authority. Right? He now had the authority of the king, even though he wasn't walking in it yet. He had the authority of a king. Also, it changed his lineage. He was added into the lineage of Messiah. And it changed his heritage. I have a good heritage from my parents. They didn't leave me any money. They didn't leave me bills. But they left me a knowledge of people that had been brought to the Lord all over the world. Talked to a young man from New Zealand, and he said, there are thousands of Christians in New Zealand due to your parents' ministry down there. I said, did you say thousands? And he wasn't an exaggerator either. But that's your heritage is what's passed on to you from those that are behind you, right? And it belongs to you. I want to read something out of John chapter 1. Y'all, turn there with me real quickly. We're talking about the Lord putting his hand on someone, the Lord bringing his spirit into somebody's life. And here's where it begins. John chapter 1. I'm reading verse 10. He says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is the one that created the world. He has the authority over the world. He gave it to Adam and Eve. They gave it to the devil. Right? But when Jesus came to his own people, and his own received him not, then verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave ye power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's the word power again. Authority or power, it can kind of go either way. It can be used either way. Then look at verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Isn't that interesting? When I receive Jesus, something changes in me. I become a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right? A new creation. I become a whole new person. And just as surely as my mom and dad, I take after them. They took after me a few times when I disobeyed. But you know what I'm saying. My height, my hair color, my eye color, all that is somehow a combination of my mom and dad. And they are my, I was born not the will of me, and not, I had nothing to do with it. It's just like, ta-da, here I am, right? But those that are born of the will of God receives the Lord's authority to become the sons of God. But with that comes something else, doesn't it? What comes with being the son of God? Have you ever thought about that? I really am God's son. I really am God's daughter. How many of you are really God's son or daughter? Seriously. So God is like your father. He's my father too. Wait a minute. What does that mean? I guess we're related, aren't we? We are related more spiritually than even blood relationship, because we are born not of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. I like that. That's authority. Authority. I remember back in the days when I was in some more, I call them charismania. they take something that's good, and we don't, you know, the Baptists do it too, and I'm sure Bible churches don't do that, but the Baptist churches may start with something that's good and then kind of spin it out a little bit out of control, and I think that's a problem. And I think the reason that a lot of craziness happens in so-called spirit-filled groups, I think it's, I hate to say the devil, but the devil's trying to make the things of the Holy Spirit appear wild and crazy. Because you walk into a room and everybody's laying on the ground and, you know, there's general craziness going on. An unsaved person is not going to want to be a part of that. They're going to say, as it says in Scripture, when that goes on, everybody's going to think you're crazy. But the Holy Spirit is not that way. How many of you remember when you were born again? Anybody remember when you came to Jesus? Was that a good experience? That's hard to answer that, isn't it? It was a great experience, but it was like the birth of a child. Anybody been in the room when a baby was born? I was in the room. I was not part of the process. I mean, you know, but I was there. And every time that happens, there's you're torn between life and death. You're torn between, you know, I remember when my youngest son, Joseph, was born. They decided last minute to do a cesarean. And I'm glad they did, because when they brought him out, the cord was wrapped around his neck. And it would have choked him had he been born naturally. But he came out, and thank the Lord they got him breathing again. And he's alive. New, that kind of birth is traumatic too, but when we were born again, we were birthed from the heart of God. And there was death, there was blood involved when Jesus was on the cross. And so my new birth was a traumatic thing, it was a powerful thing, but it was also a scary thing. I want to read something to you out of the book of Acts for a minute. I'm trying to follow a train here. Acts chapter 1, let me look at that. Acts chapter 1, let's look down in verse 7. They ask him about restoring the kingdom. And we've got to read verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then verse 7. For it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which God hath put in his own power. But verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. There, if we look at it again as authority, and not just, it's not physical strength, it's spiritual strength. So the disciples, you know, 1 minute they were cowering in fear in the upper room. The women were the only ones that had enough courage to go down to the tomb, but they went down there, and the men were all hiding. But when the Lord appeared and arose from the dead, he said, wait for the promise of the Father. You know, if that was me, I would have thought, you know, you see him risen from the dead, now's the time to get to work. But he said, don't do anything till you have the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. And because Jesus didn't do anything without the presence of the Holy Spirit himself, did he? Remember when he went into the desert, it says he came up out of the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and then it says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I thought, boy, that wasn't very nice. Freshly new experience for the Lord, and out of in the desert, not to be tempted to fail, but to be tempted to come out as steel, didn't he? When Jesus came out of that, he was ready to minister. But he didn't. So he said to his disciples, don't you do anything till you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your life. I just kind of want to bring this to a close, because what I think the Lord's trying to say to us is we use the name of Jesus, you know, sometimes, hopefully most of the time, we pray, and at the end of the prayer, we say, in Jesus' name, amen, right? And I think a lot of times we just think that's the tag to put on the end of a polite prayer. We need to put that on the end. I do remember a lady that had come to the Lord in the last church I pastored, and she had been in the hospital and getting ready for surgery, and it was not a saved person, and so I went in, they asked me to go pray with her, and so I did. And she really came to the Lord and actually came to church after the surgery. Sometimes you pray with them and they never see them again, right? But she came to the church. And dear lady, she was probably in her mid-50s when she came to the Lord. So totally a newbie, you know. So our class, I would say, well, why don't you pray? And so I'd turn to different people in the class and have them pray. And usually their eyes would get big like saucer to pray. I got to go practice there. I got to go write something down. And that was my point. You don't. You just talk to the Lord. So her name was Tricia. And so I said, Tricia, why don't you pray? And Tricia said, okay. And she didn't close her eyes. It just doesn't seem right. It's got to say that somewhere. You got to close your eyes, right? But she just sitting there and she says, hey, Lord, we were just talking about you. And we're just having such a good time today. And we just want you to know we love you. And thank you for what you've done for us. And okay, bye. She said, bye. And now that's just not right. Something's not right about that. No, it was precious, wasn't it? She wasn't doing it religiously. She was just talking to her father. And I went, man, we could sure learn a lesson from that, couldn't we? But something that we need to know is when we go to the Father, and this has been already this week, this has just transformed my prayer life. I've gone to the Lord and realize, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. What does that mean? Means I'm standing here in Jesus' stead. Just as Jesus would be standing before the Father and asking for something, I can do it submitted to his will and coming in his name and beseech my Father as his son. Isn't that awesome? And I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but I'm saying I'm coming to him in his authority. Isn't that awesome? And so many times, you know, again in the charismania stuff, we tell God what to do and we tell him what we want, and we want more money and we want a bigger car and all those things. And he says also, you ask and you receive not because you ask to consume it upon your lust. But when we come to the Father and beseech him as his child, what power and authority we have, it's scary. And I think that's why it's a little hard for me this morning, because this is something we really need to get a hold of. But the only way to really get it is to draw near to the Lord yourself. And I believe sometimes when we see the wild things going on, it makes us be afraid of the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, he is an awesome gentleman. He is God, and there's nothing wrong with... People said you're not supposed to worship the Holy Spirit. I don't read that anywhere. But if you draw close to the Holy Spirit, he will take you to Jesus. And if he takes you to Jesus, Jesus will take you to the Father. And so the Holy Spirit is his emissary in the room today. And he's here right now. And I want you to know that he is powerful. He knows your heart. He loves you. And he wants to put his anointing. The oil, I was going to bring a little bottle of oil, but I figured it'd scare somebody to death and wonder what I was going to do with that, you know. But the oil is just a picture of, just like when he poured it on his head, this is a picture of God's presence tangibly being put on your life. And I want that for every person in the room this morning. Would you just, I know we're getting on in time, but you just close your eyes with me for a minute. I want you to do something for me this morning. This is not something that a man can do for you. This is not something that anybody else can do for you. But I want you to just take this moment and ask the Lord. If number one, if you're not really saved, do that first. Oh, Jesus, forgive my sins and come into my heart. Cry out to him if you've never done it before. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. But if you're a Christian and you've been saved, and I know every Christian, I believe, has the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. But he also says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So just take this moment and say, Lord, here I am, Father. I am yours. I'm your vessel. I'm your child. I ask for your sweet Holy Spirit to take over my life, take over my body, make me to be a vessel unto honor. Lord, here I am. Just take this moment and say, Lord, here I am. put your hand upon me, just as surely as Samuel put his hand on David, and David became the king with God's power and spirit on him. Lord, will you put your hand on me? Will you fill me with your precious spirit at this moment, Lord? Cause me to be something that I could never be on my own. And just as Peter before, a few days before, was fearful and denying the Lord, even cursing and saying he didn't know him, and then a couple days later, he was standing up in front of the whole city proclaiming Jesus as Lord. Father, thank you that you said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them and ask him? So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We ask you that you would cause us to get a closer relationship with your Spirit, to understand what he wants, to hear his voice, and allow him to open Scripture to us. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. Amen.